give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 62. And after the party, it's the hotel lobby. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. What's up, Internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 62, recorded on November the 4th, 2016, brought to you by RayRay.net, the Happy Hour Network. I am your host, Ray Morali, also known as Ray Ray. If you've never listened to this podcast before, this is usually an NBA podcast because I, after all, am an NBA online writer for NoLookPass.com, for BlueAndGold.com. But we also talk about whatever we want, whether it's other sports, video games, anime, wrestling, or just life in general, because this podcast is very fundamental. But first off, before we get to our guest, Snotty Drippin', James Hollis, when we talk NBA, I'm going to bring back EJ Christian as we talk old school on how we listen to music back in the day. So let's go ahead and do that. Kicking it old school with Ray Ray and EJ. It is back. EJ Christian, my man, how's it going?
Ray Moraldi, it's been a long time. I mean, what was that time that we did a kicking old school? Like, early in the summer, late spring? When was this?
I think it was early in the summer, probably. I don't even remember what episode it was, because seriously, like, I didn't even do a podcast from, like, a month and a half, too. So, it's been a rough summer, but now we're back. We're taking control of this podcast, and, here's the thing, like, I wanted to kind of look at that tape, but then I realized that we could make it into a broader thing where, how we used to listen to music, because I still use my iPod, obviously, and my iPhone for music. But man, these kids didn't know what we went through back in the day, man.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, you know, you and I are about the same age, man. I gotta tell you, obviously, I was born when the record players still existed, stole the thing, okay? And when CDs came into play really heavily, with probably the late 80s, early 90s, I remember that transition as a child. But to me, to experience the transition from CDs to MP3s was mind-numbing. You know, this was a natural back then,
right. Yeah. Back then we were using vinyls. You know, I know people still use that sometimes just for the heck of it, or they just don't want to let go or whatever. That's fine. And then we did cassette tapes, which, you know, as we know, it was a pain to rewind and fast forward because it takes a while to get to the song that you want to listen to. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, cassette tapes that was my be all end all for a long time. I remember going. I remember having my first Walkman in middle school, and I remember that was my holy grail. Like, I used to have like so many tapes that I made off the radio. I remember one year, 1990. I was 10 years old. I remember there was one Saturday night where I was home the entire night, and I remember that was the day or the week the Velvet DeVoe's Poison came out. It was the same around the time, and I remember sitting on my radio for about 2 hours waiting for that song to drop so I could get the song on the tape. Because back in the days, man, if you wanted a song and you couldn't afford to get the single or couldn't afford to buy a CD, you had to literally sit on the radio and hope the station played it and then catch it at the right time. That was my days, man. That was fun, man. I mean, I think that's when you really appreciate the art, because you look forward to something. Those days were, I mean, compared to now, it was a form of appreciation.
Yeah, because back then, now there's so much media that you can, like, just everything's on TV or online or whatever, right? But back then, all you had was your radio and your television, basically. So, yeah, like, waiting for a song to come on the radio, no matter if there are DJs speaking over for the first 25 seconds of the song, you cherish it, because it's like, yeah, it's the only copy I'll get until I buy the single for, like, $3.49 at the warehouse. or something, you know?
Right. I mean, and that's the thing, too, also, you know, I tell these kids, you know, today, like, you know, how I used to, you know, take in my media and music, for example. You know, I can't imagine now being an MP3. Like, to me, what's cool about MP3s now, it's convenience. That's for me. It's convenience. Like, how I embraced MP3s in the mid-2000s before, like, okay, well, I have so many CDs, and I have to, and I move every 2-3 years, and I get tired of moving all my stuff and the CD cases and stuff. At least the MP3s, you know, everything's in one hub. You know what I mean? That was a simple MP3 for me. But once again, like, I think what people don't realize is that not having the medium at your beck and call like you do now. Like, you want a song, all you need is go to YouTube. You need a song, go to YouTube. And it's there.
Yeah.
In a session.
Yeah.
You know, back then, you had to search and grind and either buy the singles, buy the albums, or sit your ass to be on the radio, on your boombox and hope the song comes through, you know, whatever station you listen to at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Some people don't realize where the term mixtape came from, right? Like, it's off our recordings of tapes that we would record, you know, we'd record for, like, you know, certain people or whatever. Or when an artist puts in, like, you know, mixes demo tape, and we just call it a mixtape, basically. That's where it came from. And people don't realize that, because who does cassette tapes these days, right?
Right. Before there were mixed CDs, and mixed CDs was a thing. I mean, for me, I guess in high school, that was a thing also. But I remember one year, I want to say it's 1994, my last year of middle school. One of my favorite mixtapes, you can think of a dork saying this, I was 14. But one of my favorite mixtapes was a bunch of oldies that taped, like, from Magic 1.7 at the local the Miami, South Florida oldie station. At the time, played only 50s and 60s. And I remember taping a bunch of oldies and stuff, Herman's Hermits and the Beatles and all this old stuff. And I remember that tape had so much classics on there. And that tape was my bread and butter for a good year and a half, 2 years. Like I said, if you were lucky to be home and catch a good run of songs for like a good hour or two on the right station, you got yourself some really cool mixtapes. I've had some really cool mixtapes in my heyday.
Yeah, I made some slow jam mixtapes for you know, girls that I liked in high school.
Why does that not surprise me that you would have slow jams like with Shy, you know, from like 1993 or All for One or whatever the hell? Why does that surprise me, Ray? You have slow jam mixtapes back in the day.
Man, those were the thing, because again, I believe I told you this in a past podcast, but my influence was really heavily into R&B, because the brother closest to me was, you know, I don't exactly know if he was an aspiring singer, but he sang a lot, and he would always sing those R&B slow jams and whatnot, so
yeah.
He was my biggest influence then. So yeah, like, my first cassette single was SWV's Week.
I have a visual view. At 13 years old, being a little aging kid at 13 years old, still plugged in your little boombox and like put on Keith Sweat, and then just like bring the ladies. That's just awesome. I mean, like I said, that was the innocence for us, man. I mean, the kids that who are 20 years younger than me, now, like, I tell them about cassette tapes, like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, like, I'm like, yeah, dude, this is what we. I mean, and even before our childhood, dude, the record players. I'll tell you what, man. This is something that kind of really annoys me now. You know, because all of a sudden vinyls have become the big thing again. Like, all of a sudden people like vinyls. So, granted, for me, I've always liked vinyls. I've never not liked vinyls. My thing with vinyls is today I only own vinyls of specific albums from artists I love. Or albums I love. I go to a store now for vinyl, and now because it's a trend now, every damn store jacks up the price for vinyls now, which is insane. Back in the day when vinyls were still, like, you know, not really sold by mainstream stores, you can go to like a warehouse or go to like a, you know, what is like a mom and pop store and buy a good nice vinyl for like $3. Now to get a vinyl at a brand new vinyl at a place is like said, FYE, whatever, it costs you $30-something. Like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I never, like, I know my parents own a record player in the Philippines, but I never really own one myself, so I wonder if I can, like, just go ahead and go back to the Philippines and pick it up, I guess, or have it set over here or something, so I can own it, because my dad owned a lot of them, Elvis vinyls and Beatles and some Beach Boys, so yeah, he was really into that.
Oh, vinyls, and vinyls was supposed to be like enough me, because my mother was a musical nut, too, so... Mm-hmm. Obviously, Michael Jackson. I had my first vinyl for Michael Jackson, Off the Wall Fuller and Bad at the time. Okay,
right.
Then I had a bunch of Luther Vandross vinyls. I had a bunch of like old 80s, 70s vinyls. My first vinyl I ever owned for me. Do you remember a rapper called Special Ed?
I'm sorry, who is it?
Special Ed.
I've heard of him. Yeah, I've heard of him.
He sang that song on the Magnificent with a sensational smile. Let's call off like a mile a minute. That guy. Mm-hmm. Now he's actually a legend in New York. He's actually a legend, but he's like he had one really big album and then he just it was the earth. But that was one of the very first vinyls I bought. And I remember my stereo. My mom had bought a new stereo and she gave me her old one, and the old one had had CDs, it had a cassette, and it had a record player. So I still had records from for a collection I put on there, and that album I abused for a long time. I also abused my mom's special edition Michael Jackson Bad album that I had. I actually scratched it. But I feel blessed to know that I went through like different eras of music media. And actually enjoyed it really immensely, like vinyls and cassette tapes, of course, and then later on, MP3s.
Like I said, my first single was SWV by Week. My first CD was All for One, as you mentioned earlier.
but don't surprise me, like I said, no shot.
Doesn't surprise you. Yeah, and then like around 1999, Napster came out. And that's when we just like started like just downloading all the songs that we knew or whatever, and that went on for a few years. And once Napster went down, we looked for other file sharing programs like Audio Galaxy and Kazaa and virus filled ones like LimeWire.
Oh, yeah. The day I discovered that, I remember like 2000, I was 20 years old. The day I discovered Napster and figured out how to use it. I remember I bought my first computer solely for that reason, to have the access to the music. And I remember I bought the computer, and I went absolutely apeshit on downloading everything I could get my hands on. It was so sick, dude. It was so sick. And then later on, you know, 5 years later, I discovered Torrent. And Torrent was another, I went through a phase where I didn't buy CDs for a good, like, 4 years, 5 years. And even now, like, I haven't bought a CD in ages, honestly.
Right. Yeah. I just go on and buy, because I have so much money for iTunes now. Like, they always give things for gifts because they know I like music and everything. So I just go ahead and buy digital MP3s instead, you know. But again, it's so much more convenient now, because now we can just play any song we want to. Any part of the song we want to, instead of having to like rewind or fast forward, you know, cassette tapes. You know, CDs were a little easier, but still, like, these kids didn't know what we went through back in the day, man. Like, we had to go search for music not only on the radio, but we went to stores like Tower Records and the Warehouse, and you know, Blockbuster had some music as well. So it's like, it was insane. It was insane, and now I don't know if any more music stores anymore, because like everything's all online now, everything's digital.
Yeah, I mean, now I I actually subscribe to Apple Music on my phone. I actually pay $15 a month now. My wife and I share it for the convenience factor, and it's weird because like I never thought I'd go this far as actually own music, but because of the convenience. I guess MP3s really made us lazy. It's weird. Because I have a large collection of music anyway, physically, like on CDs. But I guess in the last, maybe the last 10 years, because of the MP3 phenomenon, and to me, iPods really will change the game. You know, MP3s are one thing. Once you had iPods and you could fit, like, gigs upon gigs of music on one little machine, that changed the game. Because it changed the convenience of how you got your music. It's like, you can now jog with your iPod. You can do this with your iPod. Have it all in your hand. You can have, like, 10,000 albums in your hands, and that to me changed the game. Really, it was the iPod. Once you had the iPod that had like more than 10 gigs, 32 gigs, that was the end of that.
Yeah, exactly. I still have my 30 gig iPod that I still play in my car to this day. I've had it for like nearly a decade now. I still use it because it's so convenient, right? Like all the music that I have, like my SWV single and my Bad Boys album and my Michael Jackson album and my Sailor Moon album, whatever. They're all just put to the side now, because, like, when are we going to use them, right? Unless just for, like, nostalgic purposes, like, oh, I'll just play this CD, and you do that, like, maybe once every 2 months or something like that. I mean, you see my cassette singles on Facebook and Instagram. Like, I have a lot of those still. You know?
Were you big on buying singles too back in the day? Cassette singles?
Yeah, I was super big into buying singles, yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of the same way, too. If I really wanted a song that bad, and it was on the radio, but that was another way. I think actually artists that release singles on cassettes really change the game too a little bit. You know, I'm not saying that today is better than then, and then is better than today. All I'm saying is the appreciation is a lot different. Like then, the time we grew up to get our music, like we had to work hard to get the stuff. If you wanted
right.
to radio, you had to work and wait for the song to come on the radio to tape it, okay? If you wanted to buy the get the actual song in the store, you had to work and buy and go to the store physically and buy the record or buy the single or whatever, or the cassette, you know? There's a lot more work, and I feel like when you put the work in, there's more appreciation behind it. Today, obviously, everything's at your fingertips. Like I said, you can go to YouTube and get a single. You can go to Apple Music, Spotify, there's so many ways to digest your media. I'm not saying it's worse now. All I'm saying is the appreciation is different now. There's so much more access to everything that I don't think we appreciate the art as much. That's why music videos aren't as popular anymore because you don't have to sit and wait for videos to come on TV because all you do is go to YouTube. You know?
Yeah.
Same thing. So it's not just music as audio, it's video too across the board. It's even sports. It's a lot of things. The media in general has changed everything. It just changed everything.
Yeah, and remember back then, sometimes songs premiere on a local channel like Fox, or you know, if it's on MTV, it'll be on Fox or NBC. It's like, hey, the world premiere of this song, right? Yeah,
what?
Like Michael Jackson, or Black or White, like after The Simpsons, right? Like that's when it premiered. That's when first heard it. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
So all we had back then was radio and television. Like, we had to wait.
And it was radio and television, but not a lot of channels. Like, the you know, there wasn't, I mean, you had MTV and VH1, but then you also had really your major, only like four major networks, you know, Fox, NBC, CBS, and ABC. That was it.
Right.
You know, now you have this, plus, you know, you have NBC, plus MSNBC, you have Fox, plus Fox Sports 1, plus Fox News, plus Fox Sports 2, you know, like I said, there's so much saturation of the market in every genre, from music to entertainment to politics, to whatever it may be. That's the difference. So we're no longer able to appreciate it because it's always in our face.
Exactly, yeah. So we'll end with this. What was your favorite store that you went to get music?
Store,
major chain store.
I gotta say Best Buy, man. Honestly, like I didn't really become a major music spender until like I was 16. Like I'll be honest, I couldn't afford a lot of the shit back in the day.
Right.
Between age 10 and age 15, I couldn't afford anything. I was poor. So I mean,
yeah.
So me going to Sam Goody and whatnot was on the cards. Like to me, honestly, recording cassettes, honestly, was my be-all, end-all to I made my own money.
Dude, that was the bomb, yo! That was the bomb!
Yeah, but then, like I said, you appreciate it. I would do is, if a buddy of mine had a record, I would give him a blank tape.
Yeah.
And say, hey, can you record for me, please? Thank you. You know, and that's how I got my stuff. And it wasn't until I actually became able to buy my own content that I was able to actually start shopping for music. And to me, that's when I discovered Best Buy. Best Buy was really my first be-all, end-all, first shop, one-stop shop to my CDs, to my cassettes. I mean, like I said, I did go to FYE and Sam Goody once in a blue moon, but Best Buy at 816 was next to my house, so it was very convenient.
Yeah.
I could walk.
I had the warehouse a block away, so I just walked to the warehouse, and if I would go to the mall, it's like, okay, sure, I'll go to Sam Goody or whatever. And when I used to work at a video game store, there was a Tower Records next door, so after work I would go there. But warehouse was my thing. And back then, since I can't afford all these singles all the time, like, I'm not going to buy 10 singles and spend $30, right? So yeah. I buy a stack of 90-minute tapes, not 90-minute cassette tapes. Like, they're probably, like, $8 for, like, six of them or whatever, right?
Right.
And then, it sounds awful now that I think about it, but, you know, I would borrow friends' singles and then just put it on my blank tapes, right?
Of course. Well,
yeah.
That's smart.
Yeah, it's smart. It sounds like using, really, but that's how it was. Like, I do the same thing for my friends. Like, they want to borrow my single. Okay, here you go. And then they record on their blank tapes or whatever. And then they make their own, you know, slow jam mixtapes and whatnot, like I did. So,
like I said, right, that visual of you and slow jams, that doesn't surprise me one bit, brother.
Someone needs to make, like, a drawing of that sort of thing, because I would love to have one of those. Because, yeah, that's what I really used to do when I was, you know, in high school, junior high to high school, basically.
Do they still release the, now, is that called music? They still have those?
Yeah, they still do. I think they're in, like, their 50s or 60s or something like that.
Only? I mean, they're maybe in the hundreds or 200s now, aren't they?
I can look it up on Wiki right now.
Yeah, they used to release, like, 2 a year, remember, back in the day?
You know, it's funny because my friend Nick, when we would, like, you know, go drive to L.A. or whatever, like, he would always put out his Now CDs. You probably might have seen one of those on Instagram as well, but he would always play, like, 1 through, like, 11 or whatever. Like, he'll just pick one, like, oh, I'll play 6 today or whatever.
I never bought those Now CDs, but I actually downloaded... I don't know if I'm saying this, but I actually downloaded the first, like, 80 Nows actually on Torrents, like, I think it was, like, 6 years ago. Like, I had, like, space on my hard drive, so I wanted all music, so I just downloaded a bunch of stuff on Torrents and got access to all 80 of the Nows and stuff back then. It's weird. I never bought one of those. Never actually bought one.
They're at 59, dude. That's their last one. They released, they're releasing number 60. On actually, they just released it like yesterday.
the ones that have like 70 something on my hard drive.
Those probably the UK version, maybe.
Unless they actually redid those, let's start over again. They released 2 a year.
Well, maybe you got the UK one because now that's what I call music is originally from the UK, I believe. So. The U.S. series is up to 60. I look at the U.K. series right now.
That makes sense.
We've gone from talking about vinyl to now that's what I call music. they are on... they're on 82.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's the last one, yeah. 82. Oh, wait, yeah. Hold on.
Might be UK. Are we still recording?
82. Yeah, 4 years ago in 82.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a lot. They have a lot going on.
Media is different, man.
Yeah. Media is different. Yeah. So we will never forget you, Best Buy. Well, Best Buy's still around, so you're cool. But the warehouse, I'll never forget you.
Well, cassettes are gone. Like cassettes out of the game. It's the vinyl's still around. So that's a good thing. But cassettes are gone.
Yeah, cassettes are gone. Our hard work for making slow jam mixtapes done.
Ray Moran.
Thanks, CJ.
Thank you, Ray. Welcome back.
Hey, everyone. I'm Matt Moore from CBSSports.com. Listen to Ray Ray's Fundamental as much as you can, as often as you can, because it's awesome, he's awesome, the NBA is awesome, and you are awesome. Have a great day.
Serena Winters of LakersNation.com, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Hey guys, before we get on to the main event, let me remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show on Stitcher and RayRay.net. You can follow the podcast Twitter at Ray is Fun, because you cannot fit Ray Ray is Fundamental on a Twitter handle. And you can follow my personal Twitter at the Nola Look Pass. Go to my NBA site called thenolapass.com, and I also do work at forumbrewingworld.com, where I write Lakers stuff. Anyway, here's my talk with Adam Jacoby and James Hollis, a.k.a. Snotty Griffin. NBA talk coming up. Scratch. Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, episode 52. This is Ray Ray, joined by the happiest Cubs fan in the world and the greatest storyteller ever, Adam Jacoby. What's up?
Not a whole lot, man. It's been a good
week. Not a whole lot, huh? Not a whole lot, right? Sure.
It's been quite a good week.
Yes, sir, it is. And joining us from B-Ball Breakdown, actually you can find him anywhere that has anything to do with the NBA these days. Former co-podcaster of mine as well, James Hollis, Snotty Griffin. What's up?
What up, what up, what up? Thanks for having me on again. And don't say former co-host, because once I'm your co-host once, I never leave your side, brother.
I feel the love, man. I feel the love.
Real quick, I just wanted to say so I can talk sensuously close. I hope this is making you guys uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, what's up, Adam? How's it
going? Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Hey, Ray, how's it going, buddy?
How's it good?
All right, let's go. Okay, I got it.
All right, so first of all, Adam, big Cubs fan, a big week for you, right? Like, Game 7 came down from 3-1 down and went on to win the World Series, right?
Yeah, so basically the Cubs are now the LeBron James of I almost said NBA baseball, but that's not a thing.
It could be. Well, National baseball, nah, go on.
No, anyway, no, it's...
Chris Paul calls the Indians and says, "Look at you guys walk around all cavalier and everything."
Once upon a time, a hawk and a hornet loved each other very much.
And that was just to distract you from having a 3-1 lead.
That's right. That's right. The agent, the State Farm agent guy in those commercials, the one that ended up in a Nicki Minaj commercial later this year. Apparently he's from Iowa.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So we're basically brothers.
So you're basically a State Farm agent, what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also I basically hang out with DeAndre Jordan in drag. Basically.
Also, is your real name Jake?
From State Farm. No, that's not Jake from State Farm. Jake from State Farm.
I don't know. Well, jeez, I'm getting my State Farm agents mixed up.
Either way, Adam, either way, you sound hideous.
Well, I'm a guy, so. No, it's been a hell of a week, and especially nerve-wracking because the Cubs played the last 28 innings in a row facing elimination, basically. And they spent most of them, they spent a lot of the first two games not ahead. So that was very nerve-wracking, to say the least, especially when you don't know if you're watching the last game or not. And so that was Sunday, and that was Tuesday, and that was Wednesday. And that meant a whole lot of not getting any sleep and a whole lot of thinking, I don't want to have to do another goddamned off-season of this. Because it's one thing if it's like, you know, the first 107 years of it, bad enough, right?
Right.
But if they get to the World Series and then they come up just short, that's going to be the only thing that anybody talks about. Like, they won't even want to say, like, yeah, well, what's going to happen with Jake Arrieta in arbitration? No one's going to talk about that. It's all like, oh, well, I guess they're losers. I guess it's a losing, losey-lose streak, blee, blee, blue. Well, I guess Cubs fans are secretly happy about this. I bet they really are. They don't want to lose their identity. There was that stuff, too, which was really just sports writer code for, well, this is the only way I've talked about the Cubs and their fans for my entire life, so I don't want to lose that, and so I'm sure that's the only way they want to be talked about.
Well, I'm sorry, hold on, back up. So you're saying, yeah, there was actually paid sports writers whose take was the Cubs fans really don't want to win because their identity is wrapped up in losing and they don't want to lose that?
Let's see, I heard it from Rick Riley. Heard it from Skip Bayless.
All right, idiot number two. Okay.
Heard it from Deadspin.
I like it. Yeah. They're funny, actually. So that's just all right. That's weird.
And and somebody on 538. They brought in their buddy who's a Cubs fan and said, "Yeah, I actually don't want to win." Like, yeah, somebody actually put his own name on that, which that's was the surprising part.
That's called being an industry plant. He's a plant.
See, yeah. I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah.
I also heard that Stephen A. Smith said that as well.
Who?
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, you just want to keep losing, right? Because that's what you are. You're a loser!
Ouch.
That's it.
I know.
Ouch.
No, not really. Adam's not a loser, actually.
No. Nope.
Adam's a winner.
Nope.
Adam's
exactly
winner.
Opposite of a loser.
The entire time, the 107 years that he lived throughout when the Cubs weren't winning, he's a winner.
Winner.
That's not.
A winner now.
Jacoby's actually like...
Okay, so confession time. I didn't watch a single inning of the World Series, and I didn't know that it was even in Game 7 and, like, why or anything. I didn't even know who was playing until, like, Game 5, and then I didn't know it was in Game 7 until I saw the tweets about it.
It's really weird because they were doing the whole 3-1 thing the entire time, so I don't know why you wouldn't catch that.
I just thought they were talking about... Honestly, I thought they were talking about Golden State when I saw 3-1 on my timeline. I don't even read it anymore.
Well... That's very true. So, let's talk about Golden State. Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, Thunder Warriors had their game, super hyped up, just like, when LeBron returned to Cleveland, and of course, the result was pretty much the same. It was a blowout. So, too much of this, guys, about Westbrook and Durant?
So it's never too much, right? Because it's entertainment, and I think the whole the side storyline was entertainment. It's entertaining. So, I don't think it's ever gonna be too much, but, as far as the fans, but yeah, I could tell Russ and KD are both pretty much fed up answering it. Russ basically came out and says, no more questions about KD. Then he shows up, you know, making fun of him wearing the photog vest, which is pretty, pretty funny. I'm glad the game's over, though, because I think now it'll fade into the background until the next game comes around, I hope.
Which is around January, I believe, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Something like that, yeah. When Kevin Durant goes up to OKC for the first time as a Warrior, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I'm ready to sort of move on from Russ versus KD to like OKC versus Golden State. But that's sort of like saying, okay, I'm ready to move on to Marty Jannetty versus Shawn Michaels. Like the split is going to end up horribly one sided, and I. As a student of wrestling history, I know that Jannetty did win the Intercontinental title off of Michaels. That was one of the payoffs of that split because the fans needed something to feel good about. But like we all deep down knew who the future was. and it wasn't Jannetty. And also Michaels won it back from Jannetty shortly thereafter.
I really thought these were characters from Boardwalk Empire. I was like, I don't remember them fight. Who are these people he's talking about? I don't remember that. I remember Chalky White. I remember Nucky. I was like, who the hell? I honest to God, that's what I. Okay, sorry about that.
No,
go on, Adam. Go on, Adam.
Like, hey, here, really? See? Yeah, see.
Hey, you're gonna give me the Intercontinental Belt.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, people's elbows. See? Yeah. Oh no, the Rings of Saturn. No, no. Okay.
Yeah. Not on my boardwalk. Yeah.
Frog Splash. No.
You take down these walls of Jericho right now. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I got a Cobra Crutch with your name on it, buddy.
I just lost my train of thought there. Here's the thing though, like, this kind of exposed. Okay, I mean, the thing is, OKC that's a 4-0 star. It's like, oh, maybe they're gonna be something, right? But it's a small sample, right? I mean,
no,
we really know OKC's not that great of a team.
I think it. Yes, it's kind of like a wake up call, like a splash of cold water in the face. But I mean, preseason, I've seen people actually predicting them missing the playoffs, 6-8 seed. I think they're gonna be a 4 or 5 seed. I'm in the minority, obviously, because I think a lot of people are saying they're gonna struggle to make the playoffs. And so I don't think it was a nice story to go 4-0, but we all know they beat Philly and Phoenix, and the Clippers game was great, you know, but we know they haven't really had a quality win, except for the Clippers game. That was a really good win. But yeah, so this is, I think people saw this coming, you know, and yeah. it was kind of ugly though. It got really ugly.
Yeah. Especially with like Kevin, and his talking trust to Kevin Durant, like, come on now. Durant scored 29 points in the first half. Yeah, but people are also, like, obviously kind of stupid about, you know, putting off Golden State after they got washed by San Antonio in the first game. But we all know they're going to come back and, you know, just rain hell on everybody, right?
I think the answer is going to be somewhere in between. Last year where they, you know, I don't think it'll ever feel like last year, because last year it was brand new and it was shocking, you know, and they came out the gates blowing doors off people. I think this year they're going to be really, really good, but I think they're going to be smarter about their minutes. And they're also, I mean, we've seen it. They struggle against penetration. They don't have, Bogut actually did mean something. And Azili backing him up meant something. You know, the death lineup only played a few minutes a game. Mm-hmm. So they usually had a traditional center on the floor to defend the rim. And now it's freaking, you know, Zaza's head is huge, but he's not a shot blocker. You know, and you can't really play JaVale because he's a moron. So there's not a lot of shot blocking on that team. And, teams are exploiting that. And so it'll be interesting to see. They're going to be great. I mean, obviously they're going to be in the finals, I think. As long as there's no major injuries to one of their top three guys, they're going to be in the finals.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you said one of their top three guys.
Yeah, I think that they can go. Clay gets injured and is only 70%, or Draymond, you know, misses a couple games, or, you know, misses a game or two in the series. They're still going to go to the. They're not going to win without all four. But I think as long as any three of those guys are healthy, which of course Steph and KD, those are the top two. But yeah, the other two guys, they can miss games, interchangeable. You know, kind of because Clay's already almost invisible for half the game so far anyway. You know, so it doesn't even matter. So,
right.
Yeah, I noticed that you were sort of the reason I asked. I noticed you were sort of floating ideas of what the Warriors can get for Clay, and that made a few people unhinged.
Okay, for any Golden State fans out there listening, I just retweeted the guy who was asking the question about the trade. What I said, but you guys, you're kind of right, because I did say, I wonder if Clay would be okay come off the bench. And I was like, don't shoot me, don't shoot the messenger, I'm just curious. Uh-huh. So that way he can get all the shots he wants. But yeah, now we were talking about today on Twitter about what could you get for Clay? And people called him a superstar, and he's not a superstar, you know.
No, he's not a superstar. He's an all-star for sure.
He's definitely an all-star.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah. Like, superstars, like, top five guys.
In fact, let me ask you guys, how many superstars in the league right now?
Durant,
LeBron, Durant, and Steph.
I think
Russ is borderline, and Kawhi is same borderline, and I think
I think Kawhi is the dividing line. If you're worse than Kawhi, you're not a superstar.
Now, see, here's the thing. Kawhi. Let me ask you this. Like, Harden took his team, not a very talented team other than James Harden. He took him to the West Conference Finals a couple years ago. And last year there was a hot mess, and honestly, let's be real, he played like a demon down the stretch, and they got into the playoffs. And this year so far, he looks amazing. I'm a big Harden fan because of the defense and the foul hunting. I hate that. But it's really, really hard to look at not just his statistical production, but what he means to that team, and not say he's a superstar. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I believe it. I'm willing to take it. And all you got to do is look at the results. And, and the thing of it is, if it were easy for anybody to do what Harden's doing, more
somebody
players
else
would
do it.
Yeah, exactly. But he's so phenomenally physically talented, and he just doesn't look like it. And not for the least of reasons being his ridiculous beard, and everyone's like, I think it makes his whole...
It hard to take him seriously? You think
a little bit.
It's too gimmicky? I never thought about that, man. That's a really good point.
Well, and it also makes his face look bigger. And he's got sort of puffy cheeks to begin with, and so people are like,
have you ever seen
him
without the beard?
Yeah, like when he was at ASU.
It's good he grew the beard, because he looked like what's the guy's name from Ice Age? Sid. He looked like Sid from Ice Age.
Man, listen. But I to begin with, his face makes him look like puffier than he actually is. So like, even if he's in really good shape, you look at his face and you're like, ah, oh, man, lay off the colors, man.
But you know what? Hey, Zach brought up another point. Zach Harper. He says that some players like Harden and Shabazz Muhammad, they're barrel chested. Right, so they have these barrel chests, and that even when they're in shape, they look like they have a big belly, and they just don't. They're just the way their body's shaped, and that's the one thing with Harden. He's a big stout kid who's like barrel chested. So even when he's in shape, because I think this year he's phenomenal shape, but he does.
Yeah, he is.
He looks pudgy.
So I think people have a hard time taking him seriously.
Yeah, it's funny because like he had 29-7-7 last year, and he didn't even make any of the three All NBA teams.
I really like the idea of it's the big thing is the beard, man. I never thought about that because him and Brow, I get it. The publicists say, hey, we need a hook for you guys.
Yeah,
and they did it. Now, Brow kept the brow, he got the beard, and it is kind of cartoony. It's very gimmicky, and I get it. I don't see that, but I can see why other people wouldn't take him seriously.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, like you mentioned earlier, Snotty, is that it's entertainment, right?
It is.
So it's like, it's a hook, basically, where the brow, the beard, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, gimmicks do work sometimes.
You know what would be cool? If, like, Russ started wearing the Hannibal Lecter mask out from the tunnel, like that was his gimmick, Madman Russ, you know what I'm saying? Or he started wearing like a caveman, like across the body singlet, like, you know, and he called himself like the Wild Man, you know, of L.A. And let's come up with gimmicks for every player.
Yeah, here's the thing, like you guys Adam brought up wrestling earlier. That's what it is basically. It's you can turn into like some sort of like WWE thing where it's like they all have each their gimmick and everything. So
now I'm trying to figure out who should have like the Macho Man sleeves with the tassels coming all down the arm.
Oh, that's Dre, bro. Dre's Macho Man.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Dre's Macho Man all the way. He's like, oh, yeah.
Well, so what should Dirk be? What should Dirk be then?
He's got to come out to the court wearing a pickle haube. Those are like old German helmets with a spike on top of them.
I knew you were going to say that. And, yep. Hey, Von Kaiser. He'll be Von Kaiser.
There it is. Bada bing. Dirk, we just saved
Dirk
your career.
Dirk Von Kaiser. Yep.
Yeah, that's about 24 more years on your career, yeah.
The problem with that, it's a slippery slope to all of a sudden he starts goose-stepping and doing
that. He better not.
I'm just saying, you got to be careful. You know.
He's got to be the good German. We got to get the nice, fun Germans. Like
Even better then, put him in Lederhosen.
Oh, hell yeah.
There you go. And have my playing accordion,
Dirk,
and he's
man.
Dancing. Yeah, he comes out with a big beer. He's kind of, you know, yeah, there you go.
Dirktoberfest. Boom.
Dirktober. Wow.
There you go. I like that. Yeah.
I'm on.
So what about LeBron?
LeBron could be the Undertaker.
Ooh, I kind of like
and
it.
You know why? He comes out, or he'd even be Paul from the Undertaker, because, like, the whole thing with the tombstone with 3-1 on it. They came back from the dead. You know, LeBron popped out of the coffin, and, you know, Kyrie was like, oh, yes. You know, the whole Undertaker thing.
The only problem is, and maybe we just don't have anybody in the NBA to do it, but I was sort of hoping we could get somebody who could come out to the court wearing the Ric Flair bathrobe, you know, the full length bathrobe.
That would be Carmelo. We saw the video with Carmelo and Lala on the you know, they're in the bodega in New York, and Carmelo's talking tough. You know, they're messing around with him and his wife. Melo already got the bathrobe.
Alright, but I'm just saying, like, Ric Flair won shit from time to time. So,
wow.
That's...
You deserve a chest chop for that one, buddy.
Yeah, I do.
Hey, you know what? The Cavs, hey, Kevin Love would be Ted DiBiase, and Braun would be Vern.
You mean Virgil?
I mean, it'd be Virgil. And then Kyrie could be Coco Beware, just because. Just because.
I'm trying to correlate, like, Kyrie Irving with a parrot. Like, I don't even know how that's possible. So what about Kawhi Leonard? Your boy Kawhi Leonard. He's quiet, right? Like, silent assassin type of thing.
He's the Kawhi at Storm.
Oh, God.
So he's got to come out to, like, no music.
Yeah. Like...
And he just stares.
Like, I'm trying to think of, like... That's more like Undertaker too, as well, because he was quiet.
Yeah, I could kind of dig that.
Yeah, or even Kane wears a mask. He was also quiet for half of his career.
Kane did a lot of weird stuff too.
That's true.
Hey guys, I got dibs on the writing the wrestlers, the NBA players wrestlers article. So
that's all you do.
Want you to steal my shine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so now I'm trying to picture, like, okay, so who would be Shawn Michaels and Barry Jannetty? Because I haven't brought him up earlier, so, you know, some sort of, like, dynamic duo.
Are those characters, from Goodfellas?
Or isn't that Westbrook and Durant already, right?
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, because they broke up and everything.
There you go.
So.
Way to make me sad again, bro. Appreciate that.
This is Robert Littell from the world's most dangerous website, Black Sports Online, and I want you to check out Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast. It's the best in the business. It's not none of that BS. It's all about keeping it real and keeping it authentic. So definitely check it out.
I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the look that drives the girls wild. I've got the move that really move them. I said chill. Up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy.
Sexy boy.
I'm not your boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy.
Sexy boy.
I'm not your boy toy. I make them hot. I make them shiver. Their knees get weak. Whenever I'm around, they see me walk. They hear me talk. I make them feel like they're on cloud nine. Just a sexy boy.
This is TJP, and you're listening to the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast.
All right, so let's talk about Kawhi Leonard, Snotty.
Oh, let's do it. So you brought that up, and the reason I was talking about it, a little backstory for all the listeners, is that I just really was just wondering. I've been looking at his assist numbers, and up until this year, he's never averaged more than 2.6 assists a game. I get it.
Right.
The Spurs have a great system. They all share the ball. They work the ball around. But, like, he came into this season pretty much, you know, unanimously top five player, top six player, which is fine. I think he earned, you know, with his Defensive Player of the Year, the Finals MVP.
He earned his stripes.
He kind of earned his stripes, right? Last year, the first year, he averaged 20. He averaged 20, what, 21, I think, 22. And that's fine. So, but then... I just wonder how. The only question I ask is that I wonder how come the burden of playmaking and quote unquote making other guys better as, you know, playmaking, how come that has been placed on Kawhi the way it is other, like, elite wing players?
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff, a firestorm. And the answer that I basically came up with myself for the answers, like the logical answers, a lot of people, is that because Spurs. And the Spurs they're an entity unto themselves. They've been doing their own. They've been doing something. Like, if you talk about teams and people say, "Hey, but the Spurs did it," that doesn't count. They've been. They're just on another level than everybody else. You know, so the only the team didn't need him to do it, and he hasn't done it, and he's a great scorer now, and he's a great defender, so that's enough. It's just a question, though. I still kind of wonder, you know.
Yeah, because, like, they all have their own roles, right? Like, in San Antonio, like, everyone has to be a good passer because their game is predicated upon ball movement, while most of the other teams are just basically like, okay, you're the distributor, you're the shooter, you're the one that pounds in the post. Like, most teams have that, while the Spurs are just ball moving the entire time, right?
Yeah, but...
So, that's like,
But if that's the case, then how does Kawhi still have such low assist numbers? You know,
I looked and like last year he was like fourth or fifth on his own team in assist. You know what I'm saying? He trailed Patty Mills, who played less minutes than him. He trailed I looked up, I think of all the players to have a usage over 26% and play more than 33 minutes or more, he was like maybe the third to the last in assist percentage. He was behind guys like Bradley Beal and DeMarcus Cousins. You know what I mean? So I get it. We're saying it's not his primary job, but at the same time, it's like, how does, and it's not even, I'm not even questioning his bona fides. It's just like, I'm wondering what makes him, he doesn't have that same burden. Cause I remember with KD, until his MVP year, when he averaged like 6 assists a game, the questions were he was a great player, but he doesn't make anybody around him better. He needs to start, you know, being a better playmaker. And he did that. And all of a sudden now he's elite. You know what I mean? So it seems like, but KD somehow, I mean, not KD, Kawhi somehow, how he skips that. He gets passed on that, which is, I just don't know why.
Well, I think people are willing to accept eliteness even if you have, like, one glaring hole in your game. And Kawhi does basically everything else really well. Even when Melo was in his prime and steadfastly not playing defense, people were putting him in that conversation, rightly or wrongly.
Do you think people would consider him like a top 10 player because he was a great passer and great rebounder, great defender, even if he couldn't score? I remember him saying, like, he was, you know what? I think he finished like third or fourth MVP vote in that year.
I remember on NBA rank, we had him ranked 19 one year, right? And some people said that was way too low for him. I remember that.
But who said that?
ESPN, like we all did.
Yeah, but who said he was too low?
A lot of fans that I saw on Twitter that I followed. So, just everybody.
The social media.
Just social media, just in general.
Well, social media also told me that Klay Thompson's better than James Harden. So, I mean, we got to take anything they say with a grain of salt.
Well, Charles Barkley said Klay Thompson's number two.
Well, whatever, Charles Barkley also is an idiot. So.
So last year, per 36 minutes, Kawhi Leonard, 2.8 assists per game, or per 36 minutes.
Right.
What I want to know, though.
With 4.6 assists per 36 minutes, our man Boris Diaw.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, I get it. You know, Boris is known for his passing and creativity. And I guess,
That's a lot more.
It is. But I guess, so I'm going to argue against myself. And I guess, you know, maybe Pop told him, hey, you know what? We need you to score. We need you to score and defend. That was his role, man. That was his role, I guess. And maybe, I guess we'll see this year. I think he's averaging like 4 a game this year. So, I'm just talking now and blowing hot air because he's showing that he can do it. So,
Boris is gone now too. So now someone has to take the burden of passing as well.
True.
Kawhi has that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to know. I mean, hockey assists is not a stat like that we officially see, but I want to know how many hockey assists that Kawhi has.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yeah,
but it doesn't seem like. But you never feel like when you see those long Spurs, like, passing porn highlights, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, at no point are you ever like, boy, that all got started when Kawhi made that sick pass. Like, that doesn't factor into it usually.
Yeah, like, they go through, like, 6 or 7 passes before, like, they get to a basket. So, you know, it's almost like everybody on that team is making everybody better, I guess, in that sense.
Yeah, so it's you know what? People are going to start saying we're hating on Kawhi, and I'm definitely not. Maybe, I think Adam might be. I can hear it in his voice, so that's fine. I'm just saying I'm not. But, yeah.
But it's a legit question, though. Like, I get it.
It's funny to ask because people started trying to kill it. So you're saying he doesn't make people better? I said, that's not what I'm saying. It's right there in the tweet. I said playmaker. He doesn't pass as far as passing. That's what it means. So I think his defense makes guys better. I said that's great. That's not what I'm asking at all. So my final answer that I'm happy with is the answer is Spurs.
Yeah, because Spurs just destroys everything. That's how it is. They've been doing this for 20 something years now.
That's it.
So in past years, how people are always like, you know, I guess quote unquote criticizing LeBron, the Cavs, or the Heat, or whatever. But now it's even a little quieter now with the Cavs starting off on the 5-0 start. They're the defending champions. It's a little quieter on that area, don't you think? Like, there's not a lot of black or talk about LeBron and them getting off to a good start.
Well, yeah, it's like what they say. I guess it's almost like once you win it all, what can you really say? What more can you say about LeBron and those guys? Right now, there's a lot more. Hey, Brow came out averaging 50 a game, almost, you know, 40 something a game. Russ's onslaught on stats. Bron's just cruising along, averaging a triple double, and you know they're just piling up wins. I guess also because it's known they're going to cakewalk through the East, right? We've all said it. Everyone says it, they're going to make it to the finals. So yeah, they're just not the flavor of the month right now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I guess once they go on like a mini losing streak, like they lose 2-3 in a row, it's like, what is wrong with the Cavs? Right?
Well, I don't think people are going to freak out like that because the Cavs are the ones wearing the rings. Usually when that's the case, you get some sort of benefit of the doubt, especially, you know, when you've got LeBron who hasn't missed a finals since, what, 2009? Is that the...
2010.
Yeah, pardon me, 2010.
I think, yeah, it's like, I think Bush was president last time he missed a finals. That's a joke, guys. That's a joke.
I had to double check.
Because you don't know, right? Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, what do you think about your Celtics, Scotty? Because I know you're a Celtics fan, and they have made some big free agent moves last summer. You confident in them getting the number two seed?
Real quick on the Cavs also, I think a lot of people also did predict, hey, we know that LeBron's going to kind of cruise this year. We know.
Yeah.
I've saw people saying, you know, 55, 56 win for them because they're not going to go balls out. You know what I mean? Celtics, I'm really happy. So I've been I call myself the worst Celtics fan ever before because I was really hard on Danny Ainge, and I think rightfully so. I didn't like some of the draft picks, even though Terry Rozier worked out. I'm gonna say give a mea culpa there. My bad because he looked really good this year. So all the way up until the Al Horford signing, I was really critical and hard on them. You know, make a move, do something. They got Al Horford to come and sign, and it washes Danny Ainge's sins away to me. Al Horford's not going to average 20-10. He might not average 17-8, but I call him an offensive lubricator. He just kind of fills in, does everything, makes it easier for everybody else. He had Avery Bradley just like shooting 60% off on threes when he's in. He finds guys. He's smart. He's tough. He's a good single man-to-man defender. Not going to block shots. Right now, we lost by 6 of the Cavs. Big whoop. So I think we're going to be right there for the 2 seed. 2 or 3 doesn't really matter to me. Because guess what? We're not beating the Cavs. So I'm not stressing at all. Hopefully, maybe we'll make a move during the season. We'll see. If we don't, I still love Jaylen Brown. I think he's awesome. He dunked in Braun's face last night. So you can ask for it. There's a lot more to say about him. But I'm not going to take up the whole rest of the show.
But not just offense though for Horford, he's also really good defensively, and you know, he can just cover basically like the entire inside of the defense, so it's a really good get for the Celtics. Adam?
I think we're missing the fact that he just called Al Horford the offensive lubricator.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, coming in 2017... NC-17, he is Al Horford.
Oh, girl.
Lubricator. Yeah. Hide your kids, hide your wife. Hide your kids, hide your wife. Here comes the offensive. All right, the show just took a bad turn.
I think we'll end it here. Jeez. Snotty, go ahead and... publicize your work, your social media, your sex line, whatever you need to do.
Hopefully that I get some new list, some new followers from this. I'm at Snotty Drippin, which is an homage to my favorite player, Scottie Pippen. So it's, you know, there you go, Snotty Drippin. And it's, so it's drip in, not drip in, like nose dripping. Please don't spell it wrong, because you're gonna find it. You're gonna end up on some weird account, some weird nasal account. You can read me at bballbreakdown.com. I'm actually starting to contribute over at Blazers Edge, and Press Basketball. We have a podcast live too, which I make sure I'm gonna bully my my co-host Sporting Phil Boileau. I'm gonna bully him, and we're gonna have you guys on for a segment one day soon.
All right, it is dripping in here. Adam!
You can find me at Adam_Jacoby, the underscore, always important. I especially want to hear from everybody who has not followed me yet, because I am officially 170 followers away from hitting 20,000. And woo-hoo! Yeah, and when you hit 20,000, they give you a free car. So I'm looking forward to the new Chevy Cruze hatchback, and Chevy serial killer guy is going to deliver it. So I'm not looking forward to that.
You're getting a hatchback? I got a Dodge Dart.
Oh my! Well, did you get to 20?
I'm at 21, bro.
Ah, damn. Well, you had to wait till the 2017 models came out.
That's BS, dude.
I'm saying
I don't feel so popular. I'm still 10,635 followers away from 20,000, so... Yeah.
You can have mine, because they all hate me.
I appreciate that.
They follow you so they can yell at you about true point guards.
Basically. Follow me so they can tell me what an idiot I am every day.
Yeah. They make accounts, too. This is like, you see all these Twitter eggs. It's like, we don't like you, Snotty. We don't like what you said about Klay Thompson or whatever.
You know what's awesome, though? I have so many of them blocked. And somebody just comes to my mentions laughing with an at name I don't recognize, and I know somebody have blocks who just hates me. It's weird. they say stuff, and then, like, it's weird. The thing that people screenshot tend to be stuff, like, they complain about the number of tweets I have, because I got a whole lot of them. But I'm like, I've been on Twitter for 7 years, bro.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Remember when we did a podcast with Zach Harper, like, years ago, and we talked about Chris Paul being in prison and everything, and
that got weird.
That got super, super weird. So I don't know what you're trying to do with this podcast, Bobby.
No. When I never again. Those are dark times.
And with that, Adam, you want to go ahead and close this podcast?
Well, as always, no matter if you've got 20,000 followers or 2 followers, there's no need to be bugging when it's a Ninja Turtle you're hugging.
Thanks for listening to my words.
Lubricating your offense. Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
In for a hot night? Order a quart of Horford lubricating offense. Offensive lubricant. Oh yeah.
Game over, yeah.
#blameRayRay.
Voted.